Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Yeah, another slightly tumultuous week. You know, it actually kind of tapered down a little bit, didn't it, from the week before? And it was still helter-skelter. Well, we're going to be talking about a lot of things this evening. This morning. And we're going to be talking, of course, about the upcoming midterms. We're going to be talking next week, by the way. I'm going to have a list for you of what the Democrats have planned for you if they happen to gain control of the House and or the Senate, and heaven forbid, both. Personally, as I've said for 9 months, I don't think either's going to happen. But, you know, time tells all tales, and the outcome is in your hands, folks, nobody else's. If you want a hand, look at the end of your arm, because it's in that hand that this country's fate and your personal security, financial safety, and freedoms will be decided. We're going to be talking a little bit about pensions this morning. I have an incredible story to tell you about just one example of what's going on with pension funds, and I'm going to tie it in kind of globally with what's going on with pension funds. I've talked about this several times. You know, this is a family safety issue. Those of you who are relying on pensions, some type of retirement income, pay attention. Things are not rosy in the world of pensions, not only in the United States, which might have the biggest problem, but just about around the world. Did you know that even Russia has a pension problem, and Putin acted on it in the last few months? Then we're going to be talking about, yes, illegal immigration. And that ties right in with what the Democrats have planned for you, if they happen to take control of one of the houses of Congress. And you have to scratch your head a little bit. This caravan, let's see, we had the Kavanaugh debacle for the Democrats. We have had one faux pas after another by the Democrats. We've had the Project Veritas videos, which are just devastating. I mean, he's released two so far. One is on the guy who's running against Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee, Dresden, and, you know, the other against Claire McCaskill. And what I have said for years is that Democrats will lie, they will say whatever it takes to get elected, and then they will do whatever they damn well please. The tapes, or some of them, are right under the audio bar. If you'd like to listen to the videos yourself, you'll be shocked. I mean, basically, it is exactly what I've been telling you. The Democrats don't care about you at all. They don't even care about their own constituency at all. They will say whatever it takes to be elected, and then they will do exactly what they had planned to do all along. In Claire McCaskill's case, gun control, even though she says she's a supporter of Second Amendment, impeachment, even though she says she's never thought about impeachment, and on and on and on, you know, ad infinitum. Now, for those of you who listen to me who are Democrats, I mean, the progressives who listen to me, I don't think anybody's going to reach you. It would be nice if we could, but you're in la-la land. I mean, you're in left field. In fact, you're over the left field fence, and you've been brainwashed. You are the useful idiots of the Democrat Party. You are Stalin's equivalent of useful idiots. He's the guy who termed the phrase, by the way. And let's see, which side? Oh, that's right, he was left. Imagine that. We'll also see Democrats starting to use some of the language of Obama. Make no mistake, folks, but all the foment that you see going on, the violence, and we're going to be talking about that this morning too, because there's been a raft of it in the last week, and violent violence. I mean, violence against people. Not just, you know, torching a car, which is bad enough, or breaking a store window, but, I mean, people getting hurt. And it's the left attacking the right. And through it all, we see Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama, Eric Holder. You know, Barack Obama, our friend Barry, is the spider at the center of the web. I've said it forever. It's now coming out that he was the spider at the center of the web of this whole Russian concoction. It's coming to light that he was a spider at the center of the web on the FBI and the CIA, his buddy Comey and his buddy Brennan spying on the Trump campaign illegally, the illegal FISA warrants, you name it, the exoneration of Hillary Clinton. He's a spider at the center of the web. And, of course, with the money from George Soros, who, you know, it's an insult to spiders to call George Soros a spider. This is a devastating team. The Democrats have raised over $1 billion, most of it dark money, hundreds of millions of it from Soros and several other left-wing billionaires who apparently think the mob won't take their palace down if they ever get control. And it's a dangerous, dangerous brew. And it's becoming physically dangerous for GOP folks. In fact, GOP staffers and GOP volunteers, the GOP is having trouble filling the ranks because people are afraid of being hurt, which, of course, is also part of the left's plan. We're going to talk about immigration, because immigration ties right in with what the Democrats have planned. You know, the Democrats try and pull on your heartstrings. Oh, the kids and the separation. I mean, you know, that was over months ago, and it's not being done again. It's like old news. But the news media picks it up, and they keep beating those drums, blaring those trumpets. Immigration, folks, they couldn't care less about the immigrants. We know they couldn't care less about America. They really couldn't care less. In fact, I will go so far as to say they detest, shall we say, the deplorables. They detest anybody who is not alt-left. And if they can hurt you, they will. And if they can outvote you, they will. And if they can hurt you by outvoting you, they definitely will. And with all this nonsense about illegal aliens and how we shouldn't have photo ID and, you know, all the crapola, now we have the Democratic candidate for the governorship of Georgia talking about illegals voting, exhorting illegals to voting. We had Barack Obama in the last election, the Hillary Clinton-Trump election, telling illegals that they should and could vote. And we have an unfolding tale. It just broke yesterday, in fact, Friday. An unfolding tale of rampant illegal alien voting fraud perpetrated specifically and with premeditation by the Democratic Party of Texas. I'll tell you all about it here in the show. It'll set your hair on fire. The bottom line is that the 22 million illegal aliens that were here, which, by the way, the Democrats have always told us was 11 million, the 22 million that are here, they want them all to vote, folks, because that will give them power forever. Think about this. Think about all the things the Democrats are talking about. Abolishing the Electoral College so that little states have no say. Listen to my show last week, and I explained the Electoral College for you and how it became to be in the Constitutional Convention. It was a protection against smaller states getting bullied by bigger states, against rural areas getting bullied by urban areas. Now think about 22 million illegal aliens voting, the Electoral College disbanded, right? It's just popular vote, and left-wing courts, left-wing judge appointments, who don't go by the Constitution. Instead, they manipulate and interpret the Constitution based on current social norms. You know, freedom doesn't know any current social norm. Liberty doesn't know any current social norm. Freedom is freedom and liberty is liberty, which is why the Constitution was drafted as it was, the brilliant document that it is, the inspired document that it is, over 200 years ago. And it's one of the reasons it's worked. And it's one of the reasons that, along with faith and family, the left has to destroy it to accomplish what they want to accomplish, which is complete control over you and your family and everything you think, do, say, you name it, and they have willing accomplices in the media and in the high-tech companies. We're going to be talking about that a little bit tonight, too, because the high-tech companies, you know, like everybody else, Trump This whole political cauldron has brought them out of the closet. What used to be, we don't do that, that is, censor conservatives, manipulate algorithms to boost and lift searches for left-wing causes and left-wing thoughts, banning conservatives from pages, interfering with conservative communications, with their fans, their friends, their followers, which is called shadow banning, by the way. You don't even know it's happening. You send out a tweet and you got 2 million followers and five of them get it. And it involves Twitter, and Twitter has admitted it. It involves Google. Google doesn't want to admit it. It involves Apple. It involves Facebook. Facebook just banned 800 conservative sites. I mean, just took them off the deal. I'm going to give you an example here later on in the show. So you have this onslaught against communication, an onslaught against thought, an onslaught against the electoral process and electoral system, an onslaught against the rule of law and one vote, one American, not one vote, one illegal alien. And it's all coming down in this election. And you have the ability, to shock the world. You have the ability to send a clear message that you're not going to stand for corruption, voter fraud, government agencies being weaponized and used against people of this political persuasion or that political persuasion, that you're not going to stand for people getting away with felony after felony after felony, whether it's Comey or Strzok or Page or Baker or McCabe or Clinton or Uma Abedin or Cheryl Mills or Loretta Lynch or Barack Obama or Valerie Jarrett or Susan Rice and Samantha Powers. The list is like almost endless now. These people need to be brought to account. They're not going to be brought to account if the Democrats control the committees in Congress that conduct these investigations and make criminal referrals. Quite the contrary, because they are part of the illegal cabal. And we're going to talk a little bit about, because I promised you I would last week and I didn't get to it, what's going on. I mean, the censorship and the interference with communication and political thought from the tech companies is exacerbated, is made far worse by their consorting with and aiding totalitarian governments around the world censor and control their people. And I don't mean just control their people. I'm talking about outing folks who don't think like the governments that these big anti-American tech companies are in bed with, who then either disappear, get killed, or sent to gulags. I mean, Google is probably responsible for several million people just in the last year losing their lives or having their lives completely, materially, adversely, and forever altered, for having their lives converted into a life of suffering, particularly in China. It is reprehensible. It's no different, though. It's the left's mentality, right? Anything can be sacrificed, of course, other than yourself. Anything can be sacrificed to achieve the political end. And in Google's case, the political end is coupled with a monetary end, which makes it twice as despicable. Well, anyway, we're going to talk about that this morning, too. And I may get to, but I doubt it, I may get to a story that I've kind of held in abeyance for, three, four, five shows, which has to do with Fusion GPS. And boy, there's a whole story. We're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, too. Nellie Orr, who testified before Congress yesterday, except that she didn't. Yeah, she showed up, but she invoked a special privilege and refused to answer questions. I mean, it's just outrageous. And why the Republicans are not slapping Rod Rosenstein and Nellie Orr with contempt and doing what they have to do basically to lock these people up is, well, beyond me, particularly with the midterms coming up. Or maybe they plan to do it after the midterms in a lame duck session, or maybe they are waiting to see how the midterms come out. It's just unfathomable. You know, unfortunately, everybody is swayed by politics. it seems nobody can kind of do the right thing. And it's very upsetting. As upset as you may be against certain Republicans for being rhinos, for not voting for the wall, for turning the other cheek, at least to some types of immigration and sanctuary cities, for not demanding prosecutions of these corrupt actors and federal agencies, even those people whom I dislike intensely are better than the Democrats, which tells you just how bad the Democrats, there are no Democrats, the progressives are. I mean, they are totally, totally. So we're going to talk a little bit about Putin's link to Fusion GPS and how he has used Fusion GPS to do the same thing to his political enemies in Russia that Hillary Clinton, the Justice Department, and the FBI and the CIA used them to do against Trump here in America. It makes you think, folks. It makes you think. And yes, I'm going to have a story this morning, too. I'm going to have a story. And it's a story of opportunity. And it happened just, in fact, last Monday. So I'll tell you what, why don't we get started? Because we got a lot to cover. And, you know, once again, I regret that I can't talk to you every day because so much happens every day that I have to pick the absolute positive, without a doubt, highlights, or at least what I think they are, those events where you really need to know what's going on behind the scenes, not what you hear when you turn on the tube and all that kind of stuff. And those things which can or will, if they break one way or the other, really adversely affect your life. Or, on the other hand, although unfortunately those stories are rare, really positively affect your life. So let's start with our story. So this is last Monday. It's the 15th of October. And that happens to be opening day for the bull elk hunting season in Wyoming. And as most of you have probably gathered, I'm kind of an avid hunter, have been since I was a little tyke. And my uncle and my dad took me out. I mean, that was really one of the absolute highlights of the year. To go up to hunting camp on opening day and hang out with all the big guys, you know. And they started taking me up there when I was six. And up to the time I was six, I would be in rapt attention when my father or my uncle or my mother, who was an avid hunter and a damn good one, when they got back from their hunting trip with their stories and, you know, hopefully their meat and whatever. So I have tried during my whole life to never miss an opening day of hunting season. And sometimes I hunt more than one state. Depends how much time I have and whether I feel like applying for the tags and all that kind of good stuff. But obviously Wyoming is home and Wyoming is the opening day. So last Monday is opening day. And we had some buddies in at the upper ranch. And I didn't want to interfere with their hunt. And also, you know, there's been elk drifting in out of the quote-unquote lower ranch, the headquarters ranch here, as I've recounted to you in several of the stories of the past few weeks. And I knew there were some big bulls in the bunch. So I decided that I was going to leave them be up at the upper places, and I was going to hunt the home place. And nobody else was hunting it. Opening day. And I just laid out all my stuff, you know, and got everything ready to go so I could go zip, 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 cup of coffee out the door, lights off in the house, creep around up the creek, do about a mile and a half circle, and come down to where the elk have been moving in and out from feed to bed. You know, ungulates bed during the day, they feed during the night. They are nocturnal. Well, to make a long story short, I had my alarm set at 4 o'clock because I had about an hour to an hour and a half hike, taking my time, not getting sweaty, to do this big loop and get to where I wanted to be, assuming that the wind was correct. If the wind's not correct, then all bets are off, particularly with elk. They will smell you 5 miles away, and they will have a new zip code, like, immediately. Well, the alarm goes off, and I don't know what happened, whether I set it wrong or whatever I happened to do, but the bottom line is I wake up, and it's like 5:45. and it's shooting light at about 10 to 7. And no matter how well laid out you are, by the time you kind of get rocking and rolling and out the door of the ranch house, even though you have to use any vehicles, it's all your foot power, you know, it takes you 15 or 20 minutes. I mean, at least. So I'm out the door, finally, at like, oh, I don't know, 25 to 7. I got 15 minutes of semi-darkness to go a mile and a half. Good deal of it uphill, some of it through a drainage, which is unsure footing, boggy, all that kind of stuff, so I could stay out of sight of where I wanted to plan my ambush. And I toyed with the idea. I actually paused in the back door of the ranch house for a minute and thought, you know, maybe I'm so late that I'm never going to get there in time. I mean, these elk are moving really long before you have enough light to shoot. And chances are they're already by a mile by the time I get there. And I seriously considered going back to bed. I really did. And then I thought to myself, you know, I'm all dressed up. It is opening day. I've never missed an opening day. And if I got to kind of run rather than walk, and if I get to turn into a sweaty mess and whatever, I'm going to do it. And if I see their butts a mile away, at least I saw some elk. And I can enjoy the walk back. So out the door I go, and I mean literally running and tripping over my feet and rocks and logs and you name what. I run up the creek, past one of our ponds, and I decided to kind of cut off half the loop and take a chance that I would be far enough kind of in the swale, if you will, between me and where I knew the elk would be and where they'd be moving, to stay hidden. But I didn't really have a choice. Otherwise, I would have definitely been late. So here I am, hoofing it along, and I get to where I wanted to be, and it's kind of the side of a canyon. And, you know, below me is a creek. In front of me is a field. Below me is a creek. And then, of course, the other side of the canyon, all kind of grassy hills, not rocky, goes up rather steeply. And there's a fence up there with a brace post. I put my rangefinder on it real quick because, actually, I'd planned to be a lot closer to the creek. But it was too light. And now I'm in an area that the elk can definitely see me if they're moving. And animals don't like things with two legs. You know, every animal on the planet knows there's only one animal with two legs, and none of them like it. Well, to make a long story short, I hole up here on top of this knob, prone, you know, lying in the snow, and I hear an elk bugle. And through the dips and swales of the other side of the canyon, I see this line of elk coming. Anyway, to make a long story short, it was a 332-yard shot. It was clean, and I thanked my lucky stars that when I paused for that minute in the doorway of the ranch house, I decided to honor tradition and seize the opportunity, however remote it might be. And trust me, it was rather remote. Everything had to line up on opening day for me to even see elk, never mind get a crack at one. And the moral of the story is, when there is an opportunity, number one, don't hesitate. And number two, no matter how narrow the window of opportunity, the only way you won't realize that opportunity, the only way you won't bring that opportunity to fruition, is to not seize the moment. Carpe diem, seize the day, and see if you can make it work. So that's my story for this morning. And for those of you who don't like hunting, I'm sorry, one day I may have a discussion between me and some folks who are not fans of hunting, and I can explain to you during the course of the interview why hunters contribute more conservation dollars than any other group to preserving habitat and keeping wildlife healthy in all 50 states. I can explain to you why it's important for the predator, which is us. I mean, there's a reason that we have incisors, folks. Those teeth, you know, those sharp pointy teeth at the top of our head, canines. That's because we are meat eaters. And why it's important that the harvest by hunters keeps game in check, because the alternative is overpopulation and disease. This show is not about promoting hunting. And this show this morning is not about extolling the virtues of hunting or trying to change your mind. But one of these days I'm going to do that show. And while it may not change the minds of those of you out there all around the country and, for that matter, the world who listen to me, it will, I think, aid your understanding. And I'll try and explain to you why folks hunt, particularly true hunters, folks who believe completely in fair chase, who believe that hunting is really a link to a primal past, and it's playing chess on the three-dimensional board of the land, and the animals have every advantage. Trust me on this, every advantage. That is why the average elk hunter, if he spends a week in the field, maybe kills one elk every 11 years. It is not easy. All right. Enough pontification, and we're going to move on from the story. So let's talk about pensions, shall we? Because pensions, folks, are in dire straits around the world. Now, I've done shows on pensions. If you type pensions in the search bar on the website, which is ontherightsideradio.com, that's ontherightsideradio.com, you can listen to those shows. I mean, I've been sounding this alarm bell for several years now, and I've done some pretty extensive shows on it. But this was wild. So just this week, in fact, it was Thursday, October 18th, and several articles came out so I could verify them, because I try not to bring you any news that I can't verify from at least two or three sources, whether they're personal, whether they're some other media, whether there's some other publication. So the New York State Pension Fund, which, by the way, has been underwater terribly for the last 10 years. The New York State Pension Fund is eclipsed only by a few others, including California and Illinois. I mean, it is way underwater. Well, the head of New York's $209 billion fund, her name was Vicki Fuller. Oh, she happens to be a Democrat. Gee, imagine that. Her name is Vicki Fuller. And she recently left the New York Pension Fund and took a raise for about double what she was getting paid. And she's now making $275,000 per year working part-time, for a natural gas group called the Williams Companies. And for those of you who are familiar with energy companies, you know the name the Williams Companies. When Ms. Fuller, progressive Ms. Fuller, ran the state pension fund, she invested more than $110 million of taxpayer money, pension funds that need to grow at a certain clip to stay even with pension disbursements, to buy bonds that were issued by, oh, you guessed it, the Williams Companies. Moody's, as you know, is one of the credit rating agencies, one of the top two. And Moody's had downgraded Williams' financial outlook to negative because the company has high leverage and high-risk projects and explorations. By the way, because the pension fund had such a large investment in Williams, Ms. Fuller controlled a lot of shareholder votes, right? And it just so happens that Ms. Fuller voted all those votes that she controlled because of this huge investment by the New York State Pension Fund, which she runs, in favor of huge multi-million-dollar pay packages for the senior executives at, oh yes, that's right, the Williams Companies. Even though, by the way, at the time she did that, the stock price was dropping because of their negative ratings by Moody, et cetera, et cetera. The very same week that Fuller resigns from running the New York State Pension Fund, wow, surprise of surprise, Ms. Fuller is hired, the very same week now, is hired by the Williams Companies at twice the salary she was making as a full-time employee. She's now making twice the salary as a part-time employee of Williams. You know, folks, I don't know how stupid the progressives think we are, but they must think we're really stupid. I haven't decided, really. Is the insult that they lie to us, or is the insult that they expect us to believe their lies? I'm not sure which is a bigger insult. I'm still thinking about it. Let me kind of bring that one sordid story about an underwater state pension fund, New York, getting used for personal gain by the person who's running it. And let me kind of expand that, if I may. I'm going to expand it into kind of a global look at pensions. Because pensions in the United States and globally are way underwater. In some cases, they're way underwater, honestly, if that's what you want to call it. Because, you know, people have made stupid decisions but haven't benefited by them. In other cases, they're underwater because people, like the example I just gave you, have used your money to feather their own nests in all sorts of ways. Overall, public pension funds in the United States are short $7 trillion. Let me repeat that. That is $7 trillion, that's with a T, dollars. The pension funds in the United States are short. In other words, what they have promised to pay out to retirees, all these poor folks who work for 20 or 25 or 30 or whatever years, by the way, some people had jobs they really couldn't stand, but because of the pension, because they would have that retirement income, which they're counting on, which is a key ingredient to their living, I think happy would be apropos, happy and comfortable lives. I mean, they've invested 30 years, 20 years, 25 years, huge blocks of time into their retirement. And they have stayed at these positions in many cases because of the pension funding. Well, the funds that all these people are counting on are $7 trillion short. $7 trillion short. By the way, that doesn't include Social Security. If you include Social Security, then that means that pension funding, whether it's Social Security or whether it's state funds, that kind of stuff, is $50 trillion short. $50 trillion. I want you to think about that number. $50 trillion is 2.5 times the primary national debt. $50 trillion is 25 to 30 to 35% somewhere in there of our total unfunded liabilities of, depending upon which expert you talk to, 110 to 220 trillion. I've done shows on unfunded liabilities too. Type that in the search bar, unfunded liabilities. Listen to those shows. I did a bunch of them 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, now 4 or 5 years later, the media is picking up on this. It's just math. I mean, I know I'm a Wyoming hayseed, but you know, 2 plus 2 is 4 and water runs downhill. Let me continue. So the World Economic Forum said that the total global pension shortfall was $70 trillion in 2015. And they expected, hold on to your hats here, to reach, this is the shortfall in pension funding. The difference between the money on hand plus the money projected to come in as opposed to the money that has been promised to be paid out to people like, I'm sure, some of you. They expect that shortfall to reach $400 trillion. That's $400 trillion. One-third of a quadrillion by the year 2050. There's almost no major economy across the globe that does not have pensions that are seriously in the red. And Japan, let's take Japan. Japan borrows, the government of Japan borrows, which everybody pays for, again, including the people getting pension funds, borrows billions of dollars each year to prop up its pension fund. But they continue to go deeper and deeper into debt on a national level, and the fund continues to drop further and further behind. Russia has the same problem. And their pension funds are underwater. Putin, in fact, recently raised the retirement age, which, by the way, was highly unpopular in Russia, because he's trying to get a handle on this. Because he wants to keep his power, not because I think he particularly cares about his people, but that's a whole other story. Pension funds, folks, are long, long-term promises that people have spent decades dreaming about. They expect the promises to be fulfilled. I've given you examples in other shows of a bunch of pension funds which have floundered, faltered, and, you know, basically gone away, been absorbed, been written down, affecting millions of people. Bottom line is, you know, folks work terrible jobs they hate for bosses they despise, earning pitiful salaries, all for the dream that one day they'll be able to retire on a pension that the government promised them, by the way, right? New York State Pension Fund is the government of New York, the state government of New York, promising its employees a pension. That's what it is. The arithmetic, folks, is the arithmetic. It's not going to change. So I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you the same thing I've told you in other shows where I've talked about this very, very unfortunate subject. And I'm going to tell you that if you are relying on a pension, whether you're getting it now or whether you plan to get it sometime in the future, you need to check out with a microscope the solvency of your pension fund, the shortfall in your pension fund, and you need to think seriously about maybe getting an early payout of that pension. You know, it's kind of like the same decision you reach when you get to 62, do I take my, or is it 62, 63, whatever it is, do I take my Social Security now or do I wait until I'm 70 so I get another $500 a month? I'm taking a number out of my butt here. I'm using an example. Well, I don't know. If Social Security is $43 billion underwater by the year 20, I'm sorry, $43 billion underwater right now, projecting out in the future, let me ask you a question, folks. Do you think you ought to take your Social Security while you can still get it? Or do you think you ought to delay it by 8 years because you might get $500 a month more? I mean, this is a pretty easy question, right? In other words, do you want to be 100% sure of, I'm taking a number, $1,000 a month? Or do you want to be 50% sure 8 years from now of $1,500 a month? It's really not a hard question, is it? So I bring that to your attention. And by the way, don't think that the Democrats want to solve this problem. They don't. Because you got to understand that people who don't get their pensions become dependent. And people who don't get their pensions get, obviously, PO'd at whoever's running the show. And people who don't get their pensions are angry and can be manipulated. So, you know, the Democrats are quite happy to see pension funds in trouble. They're quite happy to see the American economy in trouble. They're quite happy to see American foreign policy in trouble. Because all that means there's a crisis that they won't let go to waste. But I'm going off on another tangent here. Tying right into that, Mitch McConnell. You know, Mitch McConnell has moments of brilliance. For instance, Kavanaugh and Gorsuch and the 15 judges he got approved by holding the Senate being in session and Democrats not being able to go home to campaign as ransom for here just last week following the Kavanaugh confirmation. So he has these moments of brilliance, you know, shelving the Merrick Garland final year of his presidency nomination by Obama. And then he has these moments of Mitch. Do you have any living brain cells? You know, one of such moments was back in 2012 when he famously said, and the Democrats used it for 4 years. Actually, it was 2008 when Obama was first elected. And the Democrats used it for 8 years, excuse me, not four. And he said, this is like a week or so after Barry, our buddy, got elected, that his number one mission was to do everything he could to get Barry out of office. Well, obviously, the Democrats used that for 8 years. his number one mission. And they were able to extrapolate everything the Republicans did or tried to do to Mitch McConnell's stupid comment. And here we are 3 weeks before a midterm with people uneasy about their retirements. I mean, most people know that something is not quite right with the pension that they're depending on, or they're concerned that something may not be quite right. Virtually everybody who is going to be a recipient in the relatively near future or is a recipient now, Social Security is worried about that. Medicare people are worried about that. And Mitch McConnell comes out and says, you know, we got to balance the budget and we got to look at entitlements. Well, entitlements, folks, includes Medicare and Social Security and all that stuff. So 3 weeks before the election, with momentum building for the Republicans because of the incredible the display of who the Democrats really are during the Kavanaugh hearings and these ridiculous comments that Democrat senators are making, Democrat candidates are making in races across the country. I gave you an example of the Georgia governor. I'm going to give you an example here in Texas. You have the Project Veritas videos, one of which is posted below the audio bar on the website. You know, Democrats saying, oh, yeah, that's not what we believe, but we can't say what we believe because we wouldn't get elected. I mean, literally, that's what they say. They say, we have to lie. There's actually a video of a top campaign staffer in Claire McCaskill's headquarters office saying, well, you know, it's a shame, but we have to lie to get elected. Right? And by the way, Project Veritas is promising more of these rather revealing, well, I wouldn't say revealing, confirming tapes coming out. So anyway, Mitch McConnell makes a stupid comment this week. And of course, off the Democrats go with it. You know, the Republicans are going to, they are going to cut your Social Security and they are going to gut your Medicare and they're going to throw Granny off the cliff and blah, 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 blah. And you know, I mean, Mitch said it. I mean, he didn't say those things, but he said, gee, you know, entitlements are a key to the deficit. They're a key to the national debt. Well, they are, Mitch. But, you know, kind of everybody knows that. And maybe you could have talked about it the day after the election, particularly since Congress isn't even in session for the next 3 weeks. So there's nothing anybody can do about it, even if they wanted to, and they don't. Anyway. Kind of watch this discussion because it gives the Democrats an in. It gives them an in on their pet theory, which is individuals don't matter. Government matters. Government needs to provide you everything. And of course, the less you have, the more likely you are going to be to say, yes, government, provide me everything. I mean, that is the Democratic playbook, to use the taxpayers' money to buy their votes. And Mitch walked right into it. It's really rather amazing. There was a discussion by Greg Valliere, who's a pretty famous investor. I read his stuff several times a week. And he talks about this being really dangerous territory for the Republicans. And that, you know, his newsletter is written for people who are investment advisory services. I'm not, as I tell you many times. Don't listen to my investment advice, you know. Free advice is what you pay for it. But listen to my ideas and talk to your own personal trusted advisors. And use your own God-given common sense and your knowledge, which, if you listen to this show, is unfortunately double or triple the average American, maybe more than that. And then make some decisions, timely decisions, for the health, safety, welfare, and security of you and your family. Bottom line is, the chances of anything happening to entitlements between now and 2021 is remote. I'm not talking about pension funds being in trouble. They're already in trouble. I'm talking about the entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, etc. The bottom line is, that's really a new tax, and Trump would veto it between now and 2020. Number two, it's a political hot potato for both parties, particularly for the Republicans. And number three, it's much easier for the government, as we have seen now for decades, as we saw on steroids under our friend Barry, It's much easier for the government simply to increase spending and increase the national debt, which is a burden not on today's current voters, but on tomorrow's youth. One-third of which, according to a study, came out this week, one-third of millennials consider them social national Democrats. In other words, socialists. One-third of millennials. Which tells you a little bit about our education system, which is going to be an upcoming show also, which will make you gasp or retch. I'm not sure which. The only way, folks, to slash the deficit and therefore reduce national debt is to do something with entitlements. Period. And what most people don't understand is if you don't do it there, then you or your kids' kids are going to do it later. This is not a question of you're going to get away with it. This is not a question of, well, if we ignore it, if we're ostriches, it's all going to go away. The piper will be paid. Trust me, the piper will be paid. So it's a question of whether Americans want to suck it up now for future generations, and by the way, for the sanctity and stability of the country today, or whether they just want to kick the can down the road and let their kids worry about paying off their debt. Anyway, more on this coming your way. Let's talk about illegal immigration. So Judicial Watch, as you know, they are unbelievable. They get more information than Congress gets. They are in the face of the deep state all the time, in court and successfully. They have prosecuted countless, hundreds and hundreds of successful FOIA requests where the government tried to stonewall them, where various agencies refused to give them the documents under the Freedom of Information Act, using all sorts of lame excuses. We all know what the real reason is. And they have gotten the documents many times in advance of Congress, who can't seem to find its backbone on most occasions. Well, Judicial Watch is now going state to state, just so you know. And they are checking to see if the state or any governments within the state, counties, townships, urban areas, you name it, you know, cities, if any of those folks are, shall we say, running afoul of current immigration laws, whether they have sanctuary-type laws or sanctuary-type policies on the books and they're following them, whether they're refusing to work with ICE, whether they're releasing criminal aliens back on the streets, etc., etc. And then they plan to sue each and every one of these entities. And by the way, Judicial Watch is a great place to send occasional contributions because they work pretty much, they're kind of a non-profit outfit. That doesn't mean their top guys don't get well paid. Let me tell you, when you get that kind of legal talent and it's going to bat for you every day and it's rolling back the darkness and shining sunlight on the corruption and lawlessness of our government, they're worth every penny. So send them some dough, okay? And I believe you'll find this posted under either immigration or constitution. But let me give you, particularly now that we have this, isn't this timing wonderful? I mean, it just reeks of politics, doesn't it? The 4,000 Guatemalans or Hondurans or whoever the hell they are coming up north through Guatemala and Mexico and headed to the United States border. You know, they would arrive at the United States border, folks, like somewhere right around 3 to 5 days before the midterms. Must be a coincidence, huh? And there's verified reports now. I've seen them from several different, completely unrelated sources that people have seen people passing out large wads of cash to these poor immigrants who are fleeing the persecution and oppression in their country, you know, seeking asylum in the United States. But George Soros cash, folks, is financing the whole nine yards. And this is all distraction to get people's minds off of Kavanaugh and all the incredibly negative news, which most news media are ignoring, of course, and which certainly the tech giants, Google, etc., are putting at the bottom of their algorithm column to try and divert Americans' attention. Now, personally, I think it's going to backfire. I think it's going to fire up the Republicans and conservatives and Americans who happen to be liberal but understand the sanctity of borders is what keeps America, America. You know, being able to determine who comes in and when is what keeps a country sovereign. Excuse me. And, you know, there is, I probably got that from lying in the snow Monday morning. But there is a, at the beginning of the show, let me back up. At the beginning of the show, I told you about Texas, which we're going to talk about in detail here because it's going to just, you're going to blow your lid. I've talked to you in previous shows about a lot of the cities in California now allowing illegal aliens, in fact, promoting illegal aliens voting in city and county and school board elections. Boston, Massachusetts, and several of the East Coast left-wing loony bins are allowing illegal aliens to vote in local elections. I mean, you know, let me ask a question, folks. Let's say you were the owner of your own little small business. And let's say you had three other partners who put money in with you. So there's four of you. And you're the owners of the company, and you put all the money in the company, and you're the ones who are on the company documents. In other words, you're citizens of the company. Would you allow would you allow your employees? But worse yet, would you allow somebody off the street who has nothing to do with your company, who has no investment in your company, who has no association with your company, whose very appearance in your company's offices without permission or invitation would be trespassing, who, if they took money from your company or your company's bank account, would be prosecuted for fraud and theft, would you give them a vote in your company? Would you allow one of those people to determine the future of your company? I don't think so. So you would do this for your country? Why? I mean, really. How about this? How about families who are democratic? You know, there are families like that where the family gets together and they try and form a consensus as to what they're going to do with this, that, or the other. Would you just allow somebody who's walking down the street who's not part of the family to sit at your kitchen table and have a vote on a family matter? Gee, I just don't think so. And trust me, all the folks who are jumping up and down for illegal immigration because of all the poor immigrants and they're fleeing oppression in their country and blah, 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 blah. You know, cry me a river. These people, folks, they wouldn't allow some third party to vote in their company. They wouldn't allow some third party to vote at their kitchen table. Yet they want a third party voting so that they can affect what kind of food you put on your kitchen table. Think about that. It's outrageous. Outrageous. Let me give you some sites and some facts from Judicial Watch, which I found rather amazing. Immigration Legal Resource Center Special Projects Attorney Lena Graber, she's kind of high mucky muck, she testified in front of Congress. There are 500 counties in the United States that routinely, not occasionally, reject U.S. Immigration Customs Enforcement, that's ICE, detainee requests. In 1 year, local and state officials in 276 jurisdictions refused to comply with 8,811 ICE detainers. And remember, folks, ICE doesn't issue a detainer for jaywalking. When they issue a detainer, it's for bad dudes, people who killed Kate Steinle in San Francisco. This illegal alien who with the help of San Antonio sanctuary policies, slipped through ICE's hands despite detainers. In fact, in two cases, despite arrests, slipped through their hands and murdered a 20-year-old college student just a little bit ago. In fact, burned him alive. And there's story after story after story after story after story. Remember the poor gal in Iowa shot by an illegal alien? This is like a month or two ago. Boy, the media's gone silent on that, haven't they? So that's 8,811 bad dudes that should have been shipped out of the country or shipped to jail who are instead out on the street perpetrating more crimes, which lead to either the loss of property or the loss of life or the material adverse forever bad impacts on people's lives. And by people, I mean Americans, American citizens, right? The people who sit at the kitchen table, your American family. And the American family does not include Guatemalans who arrive here illegally, or Haitians, or Africans, or Middle Easterners, or for that matter, people from Europe, or people from Canada. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what their religion is. They ain't supposed to be here. They are a drain to the tune of $133 billion a year on my pocketbook and yours. They are obviously a foil to turn the electorate upside down, and the progressives are salivating over it publicly. I mean, they're out of the closet on this now. 2 years ago, no, we're just concerned about the children and blah, blah, blah. Now we have, there is no such thing as a mainstream Democrat. Now we have candidates in gubernatorial races, in Senate races, in House of Representative races, openly coming out and calling. I told you two shows ago about 144, that's 144 Democratic House members, United States House of Representatives, tried to get a bill launched, 144 co-sponsors, to give illegal aliens the right to vote in federal elections. I mean, how in your face does it have to be to know what these people are up to? Whew, man. Let me continue here. There's a city that actually uses taxpayer dollars for an advertising campaigns that tout its sanctuary policies for illegal aliens. Sanctuary cities. Okay, this is the 8,811 releases of serious felons. That was local and state officials in non-city jurisdictions. City jurisdictions, sanctuary cities, have released another 10,000 criminal illegal aliens. The sheriff's department in one sanctuary township actually prohibits its law enforcement officers from informing federal authorities about detainee status. In other words, ICE issues a detainer for a rapist or a murderer or grand larceny or a fraudster or whatever it happens to be. And they call up several days later and say, okay, you know, where is the guy? Where is the gal? Well, you know, checking on the whereabouts and trying to arrange a time to pick them up, to prosecute them or deport them. And this sheriff has forbidden his officers to tell federal officials, federal law enforcement, what the status of that detainee is, if they still have him, where he is, or whether he's been released and where he's been released. Wow. Now, there's a sheriff who doesn't really care much about his constituents, kind of like that pathetic excuse of a sheriff down in Broward County with the Parkland shooting. The Chicago City Council, wow. Now, you know what's going on in Chicago. 4,000 people a year shot. Okay, more than in the Afghanistan and Iraq theaters of war, folks. One town, and mostly on the south side of that town. The Chicago City Council approved a $1.3 million legal defense fund. I mean, you can't make this up. To fund aid, legal aid, for illegal immigrants facing deportation. Now, there's the use of your tax monies. While 4,000 of your residents are getting killed or wounded every year. Terrific. Los Angeles, their city officials say that their legal defense fund has almost $10 million in it. They have a legal defense fund for illegal aliens. Washington, D.C., right? Our capital. This tells you, like, all you need to know. They want to go beyond sanctuary city status, and they want to use taxpayer funds to actively oppose any crackdowns on illegal immigrants. In other words, they're going. These other cities are offering money to defend illegal aliens. Washington, D.C. wants to use money for illegal aliens to go on the offense. Illegal immigrants, folks, these are the stats. You hear all sorts of stats and this, that, and the other nonsense. Let me give you the stats. Illegal immigrants are three times as likely to be convicted of murder as members of the general population. You know, the left always conflates immigrants with illegal immigrants. And yes, legal immigrants are like the lowest crime, sector, if you will, in the United States. Immigrants who came here and who have legal status or have become citizens of the United States the old-fashioned, hard-earned way, and don't think they're not pissed off over what's going on with immigration right now, are the least likely to commit any type of crime. They are so thankful to be here. They are so proud to be Americans, and we welcome them. And they did it right, and they earned it, and they followed our laws. They are the least likely of anybody in this country to commit crimes. But what the left does when they're on TV and they're lying to you, because when their lips move, they lie, they conflate illegal alien and illegal immigrants with immigrants. They lump them all together. And they say that, oh, well, you know, immigrants are less likely. No. Wrong. Beep. New contestant. Illegal immigrants are three times as likely to be convicted of murder as members of the general population. Illegal immigrants accounted for nearly 75% of federal drug sentences in 2014. This is when the study was done. And by the way, that's a U.S. Sentencing Commission study. Just any of you lefties want to argue with me, go check it out for yourself. And in Florida, 40% of all murder convictions, 40%, were criminal, illegal aliens. I want you to think about that statistic for a moment. The illegal criminal alien element in society is small, but it wreaks havoc, and it came into the country illegally. When you have that relatively small segment of total population being convicted of 40, not just accused now, convicted of 40% of all murders in one of the most populous states in the country, that is scary. In Los Angeles, 95%, that's 95% of outstanding warrants for homicide, murder, were for illegal aliens. 95% of outstanding warrants. ICE reported that illegal criminal aliens that were released by Homeland Security during the Obama administration, you know, their catch and release program, which we're now still contending with, accounted for 64,000 crimes, which included, by the way, assault, kidnapping, and homicide, and rape. And the last little fact I'm going to throw at you, because I go on like all morning with this. At various times, there are 25,000 illegal aliens serving time in various prisons around the United States for murders. Now, to be sure, some of those murders are of other illegal aliens. But you know what? Thousands and thousands of those murders are of American citizens, including, ironically for the left, although they don't care, legal immigrants, people who live in these Spanish areas or black areas or Muslim areas or whatever little enclave of that has attracted an immigrant community, they are the victims. Legal immigrants are the victims of illegal aliens. What does that say to you about a government and about an ideology that moans about the separation of children, which has ceased and been rectified. And on the other hand, says not one word about legal immigrants who worked their butts off and spent their money and spent their time and proudly took the oath of allegiance and renounced their allegiance to any other country, many of them calling it the greatest day in their lives. Have you ever heard a peep about them being victims, rape, assault, theft, murder of illegal aliens? No. No, you haven't. You know why? Because most of those legal aliens, much to the concern of the Democratic Party, votes conservative. They're the law and order crowd of immigrants. And the left really doesn't, they really couldn't care less. In fact, they despise anybody who is not as left as they. Hell, they even eat their own on that, don't they? Joe Biden came out this week saying, hey, you know, drop the idea of, I mean, he came out publicly, not behind the scenes in Democratic think tanks, and said this idea of a Trump impeachment and all this is a bad idea. You don't want to do that. It's not good for the country. Well, poor Joe Biden, one of the front runners, by the way, for the Democratic nomination for president 2020, got absolutely eaten alive by the rest of the left for saying such a, for having such a heretic thought, you know. Burn him at the stake. He's a witch. And to go one step further with illegal aliens, let me tell you how they are permeating and upsetting our electoral process and how are they corrupting our political and electoral system. Just yesterday, Friday, we find out that Texas Democrats, this is the Texas Democratic Committee, has been involved in a premeditated and extensive plan to register illegal aliens to vote and to make sure that they do in Texas elections. There are now lawsuits that were filed yesterday, this is how it all came out, that were filed with both state and federal officials. And that's, by the way, by the Public Interest Legal Foundation. You've probably seen that guy on TV. He's a former DOJ attorney who is just sick of the corruption of DOJ and went out and formed this outfit, which does yeoman's job in terms of election integrity. Logan Churchwell is a spokesman for that group. And she told the Washington Times, quote, this is how the Texas Democratic Party is inviting foreign influence in an election in a federal election cycle. And she was talking about mailings, which, by the way, feature, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's like in your face, breaking the law in your face. Which feature, the mailings have a return address for the State Democratic Executive Committee of Texas and stamped, quote, paid for by the Texas Democratic Party, unquote, on the envelope. And they were widely distributed, we're talking about thousands and thousands, around the Rio Grande Valley region of South Texas, which, of course, has a very high illegal alien population. It's near the border, which the Democrats don't want to put a wall up. You know, see how all this stuff ties in? Wow. You don't put a wall in, you get more people, you get more illegal aliens in, and then you register them to vote, and then you control the power in that area forever because you've changed demographics. You no longer have to convince Americans who happen to live there that don't agree with your policies. No, you just replace them with non-Americans who you unilaterally and illegally and unconstitutionally give the right to vote. I mean, if that doesn't piss you off, I don't know what will. The mailing, by the way, first of all, they're voter registration applications. That's what these mailings are. They're sent specifically to non-citizens, illegal aliens. And in the form, the boxes are already checked. They're marked with an X, which asks them, number one, are you a United States citizen? That's marked yes. Even though these illegal aliens have been targeted for the mailing of these applications. And then they ask, will you be at least 18 years of age on or before Election Day? Those boxes are already checked yes. The mailing, by the way, urges anybody who reads this form, and if they're unsure that they should be registering to vote, which, by the way, is a felony if you're an illegal alien, to simply mail it in. Regardless, The district, one of the district attorneys who's now on this case as of yesterday, said, quote, "It is a crime to register to vote in Texas. If you are a felon with an incomplete sentence or a non-United States citizen." Well, yeah. Yeah. And here's a Republican down there who is facing off with a Democrat in one of these districts that these thousands of mailings imploring illegal aliens to illegally register to vote and to vote says, quote, "Democrats believe that we're greater together." Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is part of the letter. I'll get to what the Republicans say in a moment. This is another part of this mailing. "Democrats believe that we're greater together than we are on our own, that this country succeeds when everyone gets a fair shot, everyone does their fair share, and everyone plays by the same rules." Folks, does that language ring a bell? Whose language is it? Oh, that's right, Barack Obama's. Fair share, fair shot. Those are Barack Obama's exact words on scores and scores of occasions. And here they are in a letter from the Texas Democratic Committee to a target market of illegal aliens with pre-boxed checks, perjury, by the way, perjury. Are you a U.S. citizen? Yes. Well, if you're an illegal alien, that's perjury in addition to a bunch of other crimes, which, by the way, can get you deported in a heartbeat. Gee, the Democrats must really care about you. As long as you're not deported before you vote. Please don't fall into the hands of ICE before you vote. After that, you're on your own. By the way, the champions of these mailings, because the mailings list champions of this policy, includes Beto O'Rourke, the extreme left wing who also lies like Claire McCaskill, Dresden in Tennessee, and ad infinitum, all Democrats, tries to pretend he's a moderate. But he is one of the champions of this illegal registration and illegal voting scheme by the Democrats down there in Texas. Stacey Adams, she's the Democrat gubernatorial candidate in Georgia. Just to give you an idea that this is not isolated. This is across the board. This is the progressive party, the progressive left, the alt-left, the communist left, the socialist left, the Democratic Party. That's what it is. So Stacey Abrams, she was talking about the blue wave. The blue wave. Let me give you the quote. I think it sums it all up. It sums up exactly what the Democratic mentality is and what their lack of regard for you, the Constitution, the rule of law, one man, one vote, one American, one vote means to them. Quote, "The thing of it is, the blue wave is African American. It is white. It is Latino. It is Asian Pacific Islander. It is made up of those who have been told that they are not worthy of being here. It is comprised of those who are documented and undocumented," unquote. You know, do I need to say anything more, folks? You need to get on your reps and your senators after the midterms. Nothing's going to happen between now and then. And you need to raise holy hell over this immigration mess. And people talk about, well, what are you going to do with these people? Are you going to deport them all? No, but I bet you there's 2 or 3 or 4 million of these illegal aliens, these 22 million illegal aliens that are in the country, and the 4,000, give or take, per week coming illegally across the border. I bet you there's a high percentage of them that could be targeted as to having lied, committed perjury, committed a felony, committed a crime on the public dole, that could be deported, and they should be. And as for the rest of them, you don't get to be a citizen of the United States, and you sure as hell don't get the vote, and you sure as hell don't get a dime of welfare or support, so long as you are here and came here illegally. If you want to get all those goodies that belong solely and exclusively and should belong only solely and exclusively to American citizens, then you need to get your butt home, wherever the home is. I don't care where it is. It could be Europe, it could be Canada, it could be Mexico, it could be Guatemala. It doesn't matter. You need to get your butt home and come in through the front door and do it right. And then, and only then, if we accept you, based on our vetting, and you are lucky enough to become a green card holder, a resident alien, or you are lucky enough to become an American citizen, can you get the benefits that are bestowed upon Americans? Period. No exceptions. At all. And no more of this pull the heartstrings crap. I mean, don't fall for that for a moment, folks. Excuse me. Let's talk a little bit about China attacking U.S. companies. Technological theft. Industrial, military, and ideological espionage by the Chinese, our number one adversary on the planet. This report actually came out in Bloomberg. Who, by the way, Michael Bloomberg has now switched from being a Republican to a Democrat. Gee, thanks, Michael. We kind of knew that. You didn't really need to change your party affiliation other than your political aspirations in 2020. I mean, we're well familiar with your progressive and globalist ideology, your anti-gun, your rabid anti-gun stance and fundings. But anyway, Bloomberg Business reported on October 9th, I've been meaning to go over this with you for a week, that the Chinese intelligence services have commandeered various parts of the Chinese communist manufacturing process for devices and servers that service all sectors of America. We're talking about government, military, industrial, you name it. As you may know, the Chinese hacked the United States government under Obama and got all the personal files, data, you name it, of 48 million current and former American military and government employees. Gee, I wonder what they want that for. Oh, blackmail, that's right. Recruiting. Mm-hmm. You bet. This came to light, or the fact that they are putting these chips, which, by the way, have been partially designed by Google. That's right, Google, a so-called American company. They have helped the Chinese manufacture these chips because the Chinese are tracking their own population. And if you happen to have searches, I'm not making this up. Google has developed the technology for China to use, so that you can take a look at the searches that each of your citizens in the Chinese communist country, the searches that they make on the internet. And if you search for the wrong matters, like American news, democracy, whatever, then the Chinese secret police come to your house and you disappear. Just as easy as that. And Google aids and abets this. As a sidelight, Google refused within the last several months to help the United States Department of Defense develop certain technologies, which, by the way, might have been a good thing because we now have emails from top Google engineers talking about they wished that Google had let them go ahead and do the U.S. government work because they would have sabotaged it and made sure that it never worked and that it never got done. These are Americans working in a supposedly American company who, while at the same time refusing to work for and absolutely in writing, talking about treason, 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 the sabotage of American interests, are gleefully working for the Chinese communist government and others so that they can track, imprison, and kill citizens who, using Google algorithms and Google technology, don't toe the party line even in their thought process. Kind of George Orwell 1984, the thought police. And Google is right there. Google is the thought police. And Google and Facebook and Twitter and all those social media outfits, YouTube, are the thought police in the United States too, folks. You don't get locked up. You just get banned. Your site gets taken down. The communications you think you're sending to your several million fans, followers, friends, whatever it happens to be, depending upon the social media platform, don't get to them. You know, you send out a tweet of 2 million and you get 5 retweets. Well, that's because, 10 people got it out of 2 million. That's called shadow banning. So these tech giants, and I've said this for a long time, but I'm really kind of jumping on the podium right now. These companies need to be broken up using antitrust laws. It will benefit the American economy. It will guarantee, or at least go a long ways toward guaranteeing, a free flow of information and political thought. It is right in line with the First and Fourth Amendments. And we have the laws in the books which would allow Congress to do this. And the laws on the books which the tech giants cite, because on one hand they want to completely censor you, and on the other hand they want to be immune from antitrust and defamation laws. The laws to get this under control, to break up these companies, to make sure that they are not controlling the information that you and I see every day, or that the rest of the world sees every day, is on the books. So that's another thing for us to write down after the midterms. Obviously, the Democrats, by the way, another reason to vote Republican, or not to vote Democrat. The Democrats love this kind of stuff, because all these companies are left. They are aiding Democratic causes. They're aiding liberal, socialist, and communist causes. They're not aiding conservative, constitutional, American causes. So unless there's Republican control of both houses, you are never going to see these tech giants broken up as they really, really need to be. For your safety, for your security, for your freedoms, and for your liberty. And certainly for your right of free speech and right of religion. I digress. So the Chinese, whom these companies willingly aid, because number one, it better suits their ideology, and a close number second, they can make an awful lot of money in a market of 1.2 billion people, i.e. China, includes giving technology to the communist Chinese, who in one way, shape, or form have their hands in some part of the manufacturing process of every internet-related, storage server-related device in the United States. And chips were implanted by the intelligence services of China in these various parts. And the chips, let me read you something here. 30 U.S. companies, including Apple, Amazon, even the U.S. government, have been targeted. China's predatory tech theft tactics have drawn the ire of President Donald Trump, etc., etc., etc. A security expert named Yossi Appleburn provided documents, analysis, and other evidence of the discovery. This is this one tech company that found the chip, which kind of blew the lid off of this thing just a few weeks ago. But a non-disclosure agreement blocks him from telling which U.S. company was targeted. By the way, Applebaum, who's a, you know, obviously a tech whiz, tech brain, previously worked in the technology unit of the Israeli Army Intelligence Corps. His firm, he runs a hardware security firm, and he had been hired to scan several large data centers belonging to one of these big telecommunication companies, the one that they found the chip in. And he found, I'll quote, because I'm not a techie, maybe some of you will understand this, quote, unusual communications from a super micro server, and a subsequent physical inspection revealed an implant built into the server's Ethernet connector, a component that's used to attach network cables to the computer. Super Micro Computer Inc., that has many of its components, by the way, which goes into lots of devices from all sorts of different companies that market them, that seems to be the main place that these chips are being implanted by Chinese communist intelligence agencies. Quote, Supermicro is a victim. So is everyone else. This is Applebaum talking. There are countless points in the supply chain in China where manipulations can be introduced, and deducing them can in many cases be impossible. That is the problems with a Chinese supply chain. Unquote. So, anyway, that's our buddy China, folks, you know. China that you never hear the Democrats say a word about. China to whom Bill Clinton gave all sorts of technological advances, including military technology. China, whom Barack Obama never confronted over this stuff, even when the United States government was hacked, and there was a bunch of huge hacks. I'm giving you one. 48 million Americans who then worked for or had worked for the United States government had all their personal information hacked by China. And not a word, not a peep from Barry. Not a peep. Because, folks, Barry and his cabal, his clan, they don't care. They don't care. Anything that which tears down America, the progressives love. Anything which sows chaos, the progressives love. And if you don't believe me, you just listen to what all these progressives who would run the various committees in the House of Representatives, let's say, like Maxine Waters, oh my God, and Adam Schiff, right? Shifty Schiff. These people would be in charge of the judiciary committees and the ethics committees and the intelligence committees. And they have promised endless investigations. Anything they can do to trip up, screw up, impeach, slow down, block the conservative agenda. And by the way, Trump is their guys. They pick on Trump because they are in the politics of personal destruction. You saw it with Kavanaugh. It could be any Republican president. It could be Dan Pence. It could be George Bush in today's day and age. It could be anybody. What they are really after is power and control. What they are really after is trying to box in and stop any reversal of Obama's policies and any implementation of conservative policies and judiciary. Donald Trump just happens to be somebody that a lot of people on the left hate, so they use him as the scapegoat. This is all about stopping Donald Trump. It has nothing to do with stopping Donald Trump. It has everything to do with stopping American and America First policies. And who the president is irrelevant. Donald Trump just happens to be convenient. All right. So that is my segment show for this morning. But I'm going to end by telling you to visit, number one, the treason section of the articles on the website on therightsideradio.com. There's some doozies in there. For instance, Nellie Orr, the wife of Bruce Orr, who at that time was the fourth in command at the Justice Department and who's in up to his eyeballs in this Russian dossier, illegal activity, Christopher Steele, Mueller, Comey, you name it, treason, which occurred at these agencies, while his wife, Nellie Orr, worked for Fusion GPS, she went into Congress to testify yesterday, and she refused to testify about anything related to Bruce Orr, her hubby, and she claimed marital privilege. Marital privilege. This is a woman who worked for Fusion GPS specifically on the bogus Trump dossier, paid for by Hillary Clinton, using Russian dirt compiled by a British foreign agent that was then leaked to the press, each leak serving as further justification and verification of the original lie, and then used to illegally and unconstitutionally appoint a special prosecutor. This is the same Nellie Orr. Marital privilege. I can't wait to see what the Republican Congress do with that. And I sure as hell hope they do something. I also want you to visit the politics section on the website. The Senate is looking good. The House is up for grabs. I personally think we will prevail if you folks get out and vote. And if you get 10 other people to get out and vote, and you make sure that they each get 10 other people out to vote, and so on and so forth. It is time to teach these folks on the left a lesson. The real lesson needs to be indicting and prosecuting those who have acted treasonously. But that's not going to happen unless you teach them the first lesson, which is, number one, you are not stupid. you understand they are liars. Number two, you are not going to tolerate violent and seditious and treasonous behavior. Number three, you are not going to be kowtowed, run over, or bow to the whims of the mob they have purposely whipped up, which, by the way, has resulted in 8 separate acts of violence in the last 2 weeks against GOP candidates and staffers. One GOP congressional candidate in Minnesota got a concussion when a guy sucker punched him. Another female GOP staffer was attacked. When I say attacked, I don't mean just screaming at you in an elevator. I'm talking about physically assaulted. One white guy, I'm not even sure if he's a Republican, was set upon by a mob because he was white. Another white guy who was set upon by a black guy in a restaurant because he was white 6 months ago died this week from his injuries. Illegal aliens have committed all sorts of heinous murders and rapes in the last week, many of them, if not all of them, having been released at least once by sanctuary cities, and in some cases 2, 3, 4, and 5 times. This is the playbook of the left, folks. This is not Democrats now, because all Democrats are the left. All Democrats, including Joe Manchin. He voted for Kavanaugh because he wanted to keep his seat. Joe Manchin has voted with Chuck Schumer about 90% of the time. Joe Manchin voted with Obama like 95% of the time. His one vote for Kavanaugh, while nice, doesn't mean squat. He's a progressive like the rest. The race in Montana between Tester, who is disgusting and despicable, and Rosendahl, who, by the way, I'll be honest with you, I don't particularly like Rosendahl, but Rosendahl is a conservative. Rosendahl does support the America First agenda. He does support strict immigration control. In other words, legal immigration, no legal immigration, no illegal immigration, and a host of other conservative agenda items. Tester supports none of them. Tester is a pig. He's a fat, roly-poly pig. And I know of what I speak. Okay. We still have deep connections to Montana. So the Rosendahl-Tester race is quite close. But there's a chance for a seat pickup and to get rid of, really, a despicable, quote-unquote, Democrat. I mean, the guy is really... gives me the shivers. Just looking at him gives me the shivers. Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota is pretty much toast. I don't know if you heard about what happened to her, but in addition to her, you know, her partaking in the Kavanaugh circus, she released a campaign ad, 125 names of women, none of whom had given her permission, a number of whom had said this was confidential. Gee, does that sound like Dianne Feinstein and Christine Blasey Ford? Huh. Must be the playbook of the Democrats. Pretend you're for women and then throw them under the bus for political gain. And that is a huge uproar in North Dakota. And she was behind 14 points to begin with. So she's pretty well toast. You know, you want to direct your dollars when you look at where you can contribute. In that political column, there's like, there's probably 10 to 15 races that I pick for you, which you should contribute to. Marsha Blackburn still needs some help, although she's starting to really pull away from Dresden after this Project Veritas video, which basically, you know, he admits he lies to get votes. She's starting to pull away there. The Rick Scott race, Rick Scott, the current governor of Florida running for Senate, is very close. He needs your support. Ron DeSantis, running for governor of Florida against an extreme alt-left, anti-law enforcement, fruitcake nut down there, needs your support. Hawley is starting to pull away from Donnelly. I'm from McCaskill now, particularly with this Project Veritas tape, but he needs your support for Senate there in Missouri. The gentleman running against, I don't have his name right here in front of me, the gentleman running against Donnelly in Indiana is beginning to pull ahead. He needs your support. The Republicans are being outspent 2-1, folks. 2-1. There's only 2 weeks left to this election. In fact, today, I believe we're, 2 weeks and 2 days? Right? It's 2 weeks from this coming Tuesday. So send a little dough. I mean, I don't care if it's even 10 bucks to 10 different candidates. There's several under the political column. There are several 5X matching and 4X matching and 3X matching for some of these candidates or for the general, like the National Republican Senate Committee, the National Congressional Committee, you know, where they will put the money where they think best spent. And obviously they're on the ground. I'm not. But that's great bang for your buck. Put in 10 bucks. Put in 20 bucks. Put in 20 bucks, and 120 bucks is going to, because the other 100 bucks over and above your 20 is being put in by rich donors who are matching what the rest of us poor proletariat can put in. So please, please, please send some money. But more important, and as important, get 10 other people to vote. I mean, I don't care if you have to give people rides to the polls. And with this voter fraud going on, and there's other instances of it, by the way, this is all I had time to cover with you this morning. Keep your eyes and ears open. If you see any irregularities, report them immediately. Do not be bashful. Don't give a damn about what people think. Report it. If he or she or whatever you witness is in the end innocent, then in the end it's innocent. But if it's not, you know, you are protecting the Republic. And there is no tomorrow on this, folks. I say this, I've said it 1,000 times. This is the end battle for the soul of the American Republic. And we better win it. Or life, and I don't think I'm being overly dramatic here, life as you know it in the United States will begin to rapidly change. And not for the better. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. You have a great week, and we will talk at you next week with, I'm sure, lots of stuff.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive, and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.